35 through chapter 5, 1. On that day when evening had came, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And then they came to the other side of the sea in the country of the Gerasenes. Now, the next time I'm in an elevator, plummeting 15 stories down, I know not to panic, but just bend my knees and lean my back against the wall. Or if I ever find myself caught up in the tentacles of an octopus, all I have to do is somersaults. Even more frightening will come a day when a silver-backed gorilla grabs me up. I can just relax, pet its arms and smack my lips, and it will confuse him and he'll think that I'm just some odd-looking gorilla. And he'll leave me alone. Things could always be worse. After all, you could be in an airplane about to crash, fending off a shark, or getting stuck or getting stuck in a cave. But there's still one fear that keeps me up at night. If I'm being honest, I have several fears, but it's not of growing old, but afraid of diseases. Not afraid of losing my money, but afraid that I won't be able to provide for my family. But none beat the fear of dying and really not being forgiven. These fears lurking underneath our life, under the surface, we know that they are, we know that we're dreading the day when they come the surface and rear their ugly heads. And thanks to the book, How to Survive Your Worst Case Scenario, I can fend off a shark, keep a gorilla calm. But it doesn't do anything to those storms. It doesn't do anything for those storms in life that come when you least expect them. Some fears make no sense. Some are even silly. But no matter what that fear is, it cannot be ignored. What's your worst fear? Public embarrassment? Failure? Your sins being made public? Maybe you're just afraid for fear's sake. And that is the exact question that Jesus asked his disciples. Why are you so afraid? It's a very profound question here, and it drives right to the heart of the matter. They did not trust him. In fact, they were so clearly upset with him that his apparent indifference that they actually cried out to him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Their focus was on the storm. Their eyes were watching the waves, and their faith was lost in reality. Every moment of your life, I mean, every moment, there is something that is trying to divert your attention away from Christ. And every moment of your life, every single moment, Christ has his full attention on you. You ask them, he asked them why they had no faith, not because they were afraid, but because they did not truly believe that Jesus was in control. You know what the number one cause of fear is? Number one cause of fear. is the loss of control. We believe this lie that we're actually in control. And when life blows up and things don't work out according to plan, fear strikes its paralyzing venom deep into our bones. And then we're left desperately trying to gain control back by grasping at straws, feverishly trying to find peace in ourselves and in our surroundings. It's true. It's true. We have this false sense of control in our lives. And then when we lose that, we don't know what to do. The disciples, they were afraid because they had lost control, and in a panic, trying not to sink, they were probably bailing water and moving sails in an all-out effort for peace, but they still were out of control. Peace is not found within ourselves or our surroundings, nor is it in our control. And the disciples found out that peace is found in the one who controls the storm. His very words, "Peace, be still," rang out, saying that even in his sleep, he is still more powerful than any storm. Do you believe that you are actually in control of your next breath? Your next meal, your finances, or even your future? What happens when one of life's storms blow them all away? When the waves hit and flood your plans, do you not panic and try to fix the broken mess at your feet? Peace. Be still. Sometimes it seems that in the midst of our storms, when they are at their worst, that God's not there. He is in the corner sleeping. And we ask the same questions that the disciples ask. Does God really care? Why doesn't he wake up and do something? Why is he sleeping while I am suffering? Does he really care? In the middle of our crisis, in the midst of our pain, in the terror of tomorrow, does he really care? If he does, why is he asleep? Listen to the question that he asked his disciples after he calmed this deadly storm. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no Whatever you believe is the most powerful thing in your life, it will end up being the master of your thoughts and your actions. So why were the disciples afraid? Had you asked them while the storm was raging and Jesus was sleeping, they probably would have yelled at you and said, "Look around, it's obvious, we're going to die." I mean, after all, they had very good reason to panic. A number of them were experienced boatmen, familiar with Galilean storms. I mean, James himself knew this sea very well, and him and John spent most of their lives on it. His father was a fisherman, and so were most of their male friends and family. His mind probably flashed the faces of some of them who had drowned in an unpredictable Galilean windstorm like the one that they're in now. And a seasoned boatman, James was not alarmed easily. But he knew a man-eating storm when he saw it, and this storm had opened up its mouth to swallow them all into the abyss. Large waves like these had quickly swamped and sunk other boats like theirs. But had you asked them after Jesus calmed the storm, "What are you afraid of?" They would have said, "Him." We had no idea he could do that. Jesus' rebuke of the disciples, it wasn't just simply because they didn't have any faith. It wasn't merely because they feared the storm. Fear of danger is an important part of how God created us. You're not going to pet a dog that is growling and lunging at you, just like you're not going to take a nap in the middle of Highway 51. Jesus rebuked them for fearing the lesser power over the greater power. And this gets to the rub of the issue for our fears as well. What do we do with our fears? In verse 41, after Jesus had stilled the storm and rebuked them, it says they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Did you catch that? They went from one kind of a fear to another. They felt great fear. But this fear of Jesus was different than the fear of the storm. This was not a fear of death, and it was not debilitating or cowering. This fear opened up a universe of possibilities to them. What was dawning on them in that boat, at that person, that their pal, who was with them, had absolute power over all aspects of both nature and the soul. And if the natural world and the supernatural world obey him, what could be impossible for him? And this is the key to our enslavement to fear. Trading that which we fear for the fear of God himself. Those other things, whether imagined or real, they may be bigger than we are and therefore frightening us. But what does Jesus tell the storm? "Peace, be still." You have to wonder if those words were not just meant for the storm, but the disciples as well, and even us to this day. Because when we fear earthly powers more than Jesus, not only do we dishonor Jesus, but we also enslave ourselves to the fearful tyrants that distort our thinking and produce unfaithful behaviors. But with fear in God, we can rip away our earthly fears to shreds. With a fear in God, we can grab them by the neck and jerk them around for a change. Fear loses all of its power and cowers at your feet. As long as your fears stay in the dark, then they have power. Bring them to the light of God's glory and they shrivel up and die. You don't have to tell God how big your storms are. You need to be facing your storms and telling them how big your God is. Your fears have cost you too much. Your one and only life on this earth. Whatever it is that you're afraid of, stop thinking that you're in control. Trust the one who is. Peace. Be still. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him, and that is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory." It doesn't matter what your past was like. It doesn't matter your family of origin, or even how gross your sin. How often you failed, how impossible your current situation seems, nor do any of your weaknesses disqualify you from the promises. Nothing is too difficult for the Supreme Lord of all, if you are of the elect. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor things present, nor things future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord of God, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who is begotten and not made, the supreme ruler of all, the very one in complete control. Over every wave, over every clash of lightning, over every clap of thunder. The only one who is in complete control of your life, your pain, your tears, and of your soul. Holy, holy, holy are you. Praise him above all else. Peace, be still. This was the moment in the disciples' life when they realized something. They had been with Jesus all these many days. They didn't know who he was. This was the moment when they realized who he was. Perhaps you've been walking with Jesus your whole life. Maybe a few years, maybe a few days, I don't know. Do you know who he really is? For every Christian, every storm serves a purpose in the Lord and demonstrates some aspect of his sovereign power. And if we trust in him, he will deliver us from every single storm, even the storm that kills us. For Jesus, in weathering the storm of his Father's wrath, put an end to the storm of death. So what fears are threatening you? What anxieties are rocking your boat? What uncertainty is causing waves to crash in around you? This is the moment when the disciples learned of who Jesus really was, calming the sea in such a show-stopping demonstration of power that flooded their souls, and coming to the scary realization that this little buddy of theirs wasn't really just a little buddy, but had more power than they ever realized was possible. That they ever dreamed of, and this unnerving new awareness that they had been around him for so long and they never knew who he was. They did not really know him. Psalm 65:7, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves? Psalms 89:9, you rule the raging sea. When its waves rise, you still them. Psalms 93:4. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Psalms 107:29. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea are hushed. This is the glory of God. Is it not blinding? It's on every page. It's on every word of Scripture. It's the gospel, and it's for you. Does that not wake you up and do something within you? Because it is beautiful. It is blinding. It is all-powerful. It is God himself. We have nothing to fear, because he is in control. He is sovereign. And the disciples were dreadfully disoriented, because now they were fully aware. The one who calms the seas, the one who stills everything, is God himself. Stilling the seas doesn't reveal Jesus to be a mere miracle worker with extraordinary powers, but the great I Am himself. Their words, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? This undeniable response is too unspeakably great. Too wonderfully strange, too pleasantly confusing to even utter. It's a question of identity. That they were around him, and now they realized he's God. The prophecy is true. Is that you? Perhaps your fears are rooted in not knowing who Jesus really is. Do you know who God truly is? Do you take him seriously, or is he just someone you go to when you need something? Is church a place of worship, or is it a community center? Do you fear your circumstances more than you fear your God? Where is my faith? Peace. Be still. When the storms of life hit, they almost always appear stronger to us than God's word, because they focus our finite minds to solely on this one thing that is in front of us, and we forget everything else. We're so focused at the world laying at pieces at our feet that we ultimately always forget to ask, where is our faith? And in the eye of the storm, surrounded by loss and depression, we forget who is in control. Anxiety will move across you like waves. Panic attacks will make you pass out, and fear will weigh you down with heavy chains of guilt, shame, and pride. Peace. Be still. another question. What would you do? What would you do if you were not afraid anymore? What would you do if that one thing that you feared didn't fear it anymore? How different would your world be without fear? What dreams or goals or decisions would be born and grow, bringing glory to God and further His kingdom? How different would your life be if you were no longer afraid of fear or failure or rejection or embarrassment? How different would your life be without the fear of hurt or pain or rejection or death? How different would your life be if you truly believed that the natural world and the supernatural world obey Him, and that nothing is impossible for Him, and that He's inside of you? Where is your faith? Peace. Be still. I want you to hear the Holy Spirit whispering to you this morning that same question that He asked the disciples. Why are you so afraid? I want you to hear the Holy Spirit whispering that to you. I want you to hear Him telling you, peace, be still. Because like the disciples, Jesus is in your boat in the midst of the storm. He's not off somewhere else. He is with you. And like the disciples, you can take your fears to Him. He will arise no matter how bad things are, no matter how dark the night or fierce the storm, no matter how impossible the situation may seem, He will calm the storm. And He cares for you far more than you will ever know. And the storm is serving a purpose that you may not yet understand. But the disciples, that storm taught them who Jesus really was. Here is the conclusion. The most important thing to remember, guys, if you forget everything I just said, if it all goes in one ear and out the other, please remember this one thing. Despite the deadliest of storms, despite their fear, despite their doubt and their lack of faith, despite them not even knowing who Jesus was, they made it to the other side, safe. And so will you. Peace. Be still. Heavenly Father, Your word tells us that many times to not fear. And yet fear is what drives us in this current world that we live in this current culture, with prices going up, with anarchy all around us, even in our country that was once Yours. We don't know what to do. 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 But yet, that's when You show up. That's when You awaken and arise within us and say, peace, be still. This I control. And we know that not only do You control it, but from the beginning of time You have ordained it. You have ordained us to get to the other side. God, help us to know You. I mean, really, truly know You. Open our eyes to Your glory and fill us with Your Holy Spirit, that no matter what storms may arise, no matter what reality looks like on the horizon ahead of us, that we do not see it, that we see you and only you. That we fear no more, and that our one and only life on this earth is dedicated every single minute to your kingdom. So give us peace that passes all understanding, and let it be a guard against the enemies of our thoughts, against the enemies of this world, against the enemies in hell, that we are heirs to the throne, warriors of grace, that we are yours, and you are ours. Don't let us forget this. In Jesus' name.